You're listening to episode 88 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. Reading is always a hot topic, and teaching reading to English learners presents its own set of challenges. It has to do with grade level, with English proficiency, and other factors. So today, I wanted to share with you something that I have been implementing this school year with my middle schoolers in particular, and that has allowed my students to be engaged in and motivated to read. I realized last year that we have a good chunk of time together, and even though we work quite a bit on homework and classwork and general language development and building up the academic language, we have been missing a crucial opportunity to develop English language skills in a way that would be meaningful to my students and would help them move forward. So this year, I decided to do a novel study with them. So I will share with you the two books that have captured my students' attention, how I incorporate vocabulary instruction, as well as how we work on higher order thinking skills with my students. It is still a process at the time of the recording of this podcast, but I'm very happy with the progress and can't wait to share it with you. Are you ready? Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grosslis, otherwise known as simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. In one of my previous episodes, I shared about how I structure my middle school class. I will link this episode in the show notes for you to listen back if you are interested. But one thing that is peculiar about the time block that I have is that it is 90 minutes long. So it is enough time to make a dent in any homework assignments and to do any ELD work. But if there's nothing else planned, for example, if I overplan or underplan for something, it is a long time to spend with the students. And actually, even today, I asked the student, oh, can we do nothing today? And I said, what are we going to do? Like play hangman for 90 minutes? And he's like, yeah, that would be boring. So I have always wanted to do a novel study with my kiddos, but there was always something in the way. So sometimes the proficiency levels were too varied for us to engage in the same book. Sometimes there was so much academic work that we needed to catch up on that there was no time left for anything else. And quite honestly, when I do a novel study, and I think it's more effective if you do it continually, not do it once a week, but you do it continually every class. That's just my opinion. But I think one of the biggest reasons was that I simply didn't know where to start, what book to read, and how to do a novel study in general. Last year with my seventh graders, they read The Giver, and even though it was way above their reading level, somehow we managed to, when I read out loud to them, I saw how interested they were, and I really knew that this is something I should try out with them. So the idea was born at the end of last year when our reading specialist came to my room holding a book called In the Beautiful Country by Jane Kuo. She praised it for its content, but also for the fact that it was written like a non-rhyming poem, and also talked about a girl and her family moving to the US. So the seed was planted in my head, and I was on to figuring out how to make the reading of the book enjoyable yet educational. Now, I am a big fan of reading myself, and I always, if you know me, I always have talked about how I have a book for my morning reading, for my evening reading, and everything in between. But I remember that back in my university days, when I studied English language and literature, I had to read so much and analyze so much that I literally couldn't read for pleasure for at least a year after graduation, simply because every time I would open the book, I'd see some sort of symbolism or figures of speech or ties to some school of philosophical thought. It was frustrating and distracting. So I needed to put some space between all of the educational and analytical stuff and enjoyable reading. But, you know, after a year or so, I'm back. So yes, making a novel reading educational is important to me, but so is not to make the book reading so much a chore that it loses all of its charm and interest. So before I go into what I do to get us through reading, I did want to touch upon the five components of reading instruction. And according to the science of reading, these components are phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, and comprehension. So they are all essential in order to develop reading proficiency. And I know a lot of students, if they don't know how to pronounce a word, if they don't know certain phonetic rules and pronunciation rules, they freeze about it. But it is also phonemic awareness, and phonics is something that is not always easy to address in middle and high school. So the loose version of it in my classes is stopping at a tricky word, practicing pronunciation, providing the rule for spelling and pronunciation right there on the spot. And then the students are quite into it, actually. Just recently, you know, we were talking about the word cower versus cover versus coward. So this becomes like a mini lesson, but I do not do specific phonics instruction, again, due to lack of time, and we tackle it as needed. Now, most of my students are able to read and pronounce the words, and you know, our focus with the novel reading, therefore, is vocabulary, comprehension, and analysis. So here is what I decided to do. I'm going to give a little bit of a synopsis of the book, and the novel is called The Beautiful Country by Jane Coore, as I mentioned earlier. And the main character is a girl, Anna, who's really excited about moving to the beautiful country, which is Chinese name for America. And she has never been anywhere else but Taiwan. She grew up there. All of her friends are there and all of her family. And, you know, when the family end up in California, the beautiful country isn't anything like Anna had imagined. And, you know, they live in a cramped apartment. She struggles to find friends, to understand the new language. The restaurant her parents purchased is not doing well in America. Basically, the version of America is so different from her imagination that in reality, nothing matches. And we're trying, by reading this book, we're looking to see if she's going to be able to make this new place her home, and how is she going to be able to do that. So it is an easy to read book. And again, I have a student who is level 2, level 3, and 2 level 3s. So the higher level students are having an easier time, but it is really at the right pace and the right level for all of them. So regardless of where you or your students are from, it is such a relatable story, quite honestly. It resonated with me on so many levels. And I can see that my students are into it because they can see their story in Anna's. And so I'm going to break it down how we do it and how it looks in my classroom. And I have two goals. So my goal number one, as always with all English learners, is to enrich their vocabulary. And what better way to do it than to see vocabulary used in context in a book? I also want my students to use the vocabulary. So whenever I ask them to respond to questions or do some journal writing, I put the expectation that they will use at least one or two newly learned words. And then the second goal is to increase comprehension through understanding the text and also through discussing, kind of like learning the basis of discussions and to see if we can go a little bit deeper. So we read the novel in class. I don't assign it for homework. The books are in class and this is our class time. So while we do the homework and while we work on aspects of language learning, we do set aside the novel reading for a half hour at the beginning of each class. And also before each reading, I share with them what the goal for the reading is. And then we go from there. So the first activity, I forgot to mention something. So if I say that I share what the goal is, so typically the goal for our reading is imagery or metaphors or identifying themes, the stuff that they are already working on in their language arts class, but sometimes it needs more reinforcement and sometimes they need more exposure to it. So this serves a dual purpose, you know, to help them in their academic classes, to learn the ELA information and also, you know, improve the language learning. So we always start with a vocabulary scan. So I have created a worksheet specifically for this purpose. And each student gets a handout where they record a page number where they found the word on, the very word and definition. And lately I have added a column where they can write down the example sentence with the word from the book. So I taught them a simple technique of scanning. So before we read, they scan the chapter and see if any words jump out at them and they record them. And the first step is for them to just write down the page number and the word, because then I will go over them together. I will offer definitions and explanations. They can ask questions, and it takes a few minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes for us to do that. And even though each student picks words individually, they do end up with some overlapping vocabulary, which after a few chapters, we make into manageable lists, and then we do various activities with. And that way, we kind of like tackle those words from all angles. So for example, I might ask them to make flashcards and then teach each other. Again, you know, sometimes they have similar words, but sometimes, you know, other students don't know the words that their classmates picked. We then play Kahoots or Gimkit. I also created a short vocabulary review game with dice, where the students get to practice their vocabulary word, and a couple of tasks on there are a little bit out of their comfort zone that uses, you know, sensory activities and that like a sensory examples, and it helps them kind of like remember and use the words even more. So after we do this short vocabulary preview, we then begin reading. Okay, so since I only have 3 students in the class and the chapters in the book are short, we take turns reading the chapters. I read as well, so there's 4 people reading. And after each chapter, we pause and I ask questions. And my first go-to questions are the understanding and recall questions, because I have a lower proficiency level student, as I mentioned, and I want to make sure that he understands what is going on in the chapter. And the interesting thing is when you ask these, you know, recall questions, it turns out that even the kids who say, oh, yeah, I understand everything, you know, they realize that there's something that they might have missed. So after that, you know, I try to make questions progressively more analytical, you know, asking the why questions or the how questions, just to help them get out of this, literal understanding of the book. It is really beautiful to see how the students offer their insights and how they make connections with their lives, whether it's something from the main character said or experienced, or something like a word, you know, strikes them, or an action or something like that. So every several chapters or so, I ask the students to make a drawing of some sort or comparison of either chapters or certain things that the character experienced in the novel. And I do use a teacher's guide that I found online, and it has great activities too that help the students showcase what they have understood and how they are connecting with the book. So at the end of each class, I do an exit ticket. And again, because there's only three students, the exit ticket is nothing, you know, we don't write, we verbally express. So there's always three questions, you know, share one thing that stuck with you, you know, today with the chapters that we read, one question that you might have or something that you wonder about, and then one new word that stuck with you that you will remember and use. And this typically also gives quite a bit of information for me so I can move forward planning for other days. And for the final project, I am going to utilize a one-pager. So if you have never used the one-pager, it's kind of like a creative project, very, very open-ended assignment that allows the students to showcase what they took away from the book. So it typically is a blank page. Sometimes it includes a border or boxes where the students can creatively demonstrate the comprehension of the story and analysis. And even though it's a creative project, it is important to have a clear instructions on what you want the students to do. So if you have certain sections that you want them to fill in, you have to give them instructions. So for example, my goal was to enrich vocabulary and to increase comprehension. Here's what I'm going to ask the students to do. Use a vocabulary word that associates with the book for you, or write down three words that summarize, you know, the story or something like that. Create an image that captures the main idea of the story, or create a statement that captures the theme of the book. Find a quote that is the most important to you or that stuck with you the most. Include a favorite scene or include a connection to your life. So there will be some writing, but most of it will be, you know, creative presentation. So that is all. And again, like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, it's a work in progress. And I feel like our class is used in much more meaningful way. And we're engaging with the text and we're having natural and authentic conversations, which to me is one of the most important aspects of learning English. And if you are interested and would like to use my vocabulary scan, the dice game, and the one-pagers that I mentioned in this episode, I have created a packet of these worksheets that you can grab in my Teachers Pay Teachers store. I will link it to for you below this episode. And yes, that is all for today. So I hope you found this useful. As always, I want to hear from you. Do you teach novels to your ELs? And if so, how do you do it? Send me a message on Instagram and let's chat. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.